Holland, Senator Hughes, and Senator Begich, would you please join us at the table? And please start your presentation.
Mr. Chairman, Co-Chair Stedman, Senator Holland, Senate Education Committee, thank you for hearing Senate Bill 111, the Alaska Academic Improvement Modernization Act. I also thank Senator Tom Begich and Senator Shelley Hughes for joining me today to present this Senate Education Committee bill. Senate Bill 111 is a bipartisan effort to improve reading skills in Alaska and Alaskan students through increased accountability and innovative, well-placed resources. Today, at this moment in Alaska, as in the past, we're failing in our efforts to educate our students. Do I have control over the slides? There we go. Currently, Alaska ranks at or near the bottom in several national education ranking categories. In the 2019 National Assessment of Educational Progress Scoring, Alaska ranked 50th out of 50 states for fourth grade reading. I'm sure every state, even among the highest scores on this chart, can identify individual education challenges that they face in their state. But it seems that here in Alaska, we possess most of those challenges and more. But here in Alaska, where we spend among the highest in the nation per student on education, we should not be in last place. We need to do better. This is not a new issue. Alaska has traditionally performed below national standards, and we've been in a downward trend for decades. This slide shows the upward trend of the national average versus the downward trend in Alaska over the last two decades. The program we're discussing in Senate Bill 111, we are not the first to do it. Florida was the first mover. Florida was the first state to pass very similar education reforms in 2002. After enacting the program, Florida went from 32nd place to among the top five in the nation in fourth grade reading. It was so successful that this program was commonly referred to as a Florida model as the idea circulated through the states. In 2013, Mississippi took similar action and experienced improvements in their fourth grade reading scores. In 2019, Alabama passed similar legislation, showing that this program is still seen as the way forward for improving reading performance in our schools. Today, 35 states have enacted similar legislation, but Alaska is not in that number. This is an excerpt from the Alaska School District K-3 reading report to the legislature in January 2022. Clearly, this report shows that there is an inconsistent approach to reading instruction across our state with inadequate measures for quality control. Alaska students need focused, comprehensive reading legislation grounded in science-based reading instruction and intervention for pre-K through third grade students. This is from the Alaska Department of Education and Early Development, and it describes this legislation, Senate Bill 111. So Senate Bill 111 is a product of significant and spirited debate, not just this year, but in years gone by. I thank Senator Begich and Senator Hughes. Much of the work in Senate Bill 111 stands on previous work done in Senate Bill 42 and Senate Bill 8, but components of this bill go back at least as far as 2014, just here in the Alaska legislature. Senate Bill 111 is composed of three main parts: early education, evidence-based reading instruction, and the virtual consortium program. And I'll invite Senator Begich to speak on the early education component. Senator Begich.
Thank you, Senator Holland. For the record, my name is Senator Tom Begich. I represent District J in the Alaska State Senate. That's downtown Anchorage. As Senator Holland referenced, this bill has been before the committee in one form or another for many years. And in fact, it even goes back prior to all of our service when Senator Stevens produced a reading bill back in the mid-teens that included components of which are included in this bill. The pre-K component really just focuses on what works. For the last decade, the Department of Education Early Development, thanks to the work of the legislature, has provided a pilot program in evidence-based early education. Nationally and internationally, we have data that is included as part of the record that shows the impact of early education, not just for those who receive it directly, but generationally. Perry pre-K study and other studies have shown generational impacts in terms of the lowering of costs to to government systems, the increase of opportunity for not just the children who go through evidence-based early education, but also their children and their children's children now with the pre-K study. The Perry pre-K study has indicated that as well. I would add that one of the advantages that this bill has and that we should take advantage of is that it includes a very strong reading component. Over and over again, where early education hasn't succeeded, it has been so because there hasn't been a strong reading component to support the work of the early education. So you get these great gains, and then they're lost by third grade or fourth grade. This bill, of course, incorporates those reading components. I would also add that the other piece that's often missing in successful reading bills is there's no early education so that young people don't come to school prepared. We know from the comments from our own Commissioner of Education, both the current commissioner and the prior commissioner, that early education does make a difference, and we have the data to prove it here in Alaska. Senator Holland mentioned the states that have used programs similar to this. There are other states as well, Colorado, Michigan, Oklahoma, other states that have successfully combined these components to have successful outcomes for all of their children. As the Commissioner of Education said, if you don't combine these components, which this bill does, you will ultimately and fundamentally not succeed. And we have an obligation to succeed, especially coming out of this pandemic, where so many have suffered from the inability to have a full school experience. With that, I would just say that the fourth element of this bill on site, the chairman mentioned early education, evidence-based reading, and the virtual consortium. There is a fourth element, which is the department's support for struggling schools. That's another component of this bill. It's a secondary component, but it's also critical. The ability and capability of the department to do that is critical to our ability to succeed. We believe, the three of us, and that's why you see bipartisan support for this bill, or as I like to say, nonpartisan support for this bill. We believe it will be successful in turning those numbers around that have placed us at the bottom when it comes to reading scores in the nation. We believe that this combination of elements will do so. The pre-K piece, we have provided to you substantial amounts of data in the backup material. I can refer to that data directly at any time for questions that you may have. But beyond that, I would just finish by saying on the early education piece, the bill guarantees access regardless of your socioeconomic circumstances. It would have to work with existing education programs, including our existing modeled pre-K that's worked so well in this state. And it must be high quality, locally designed, and culturally responsive in this bill. So with that, I would pass it back over to the chairman.
Thank you, Senator Begich. So the second component is reading intervention services. This is testing with purpose. It provides opportunities to test all students from kindergarten through third grade three times every year. This is 12 opportunities that currently are not uniform across Alaskan schools to identify students who may be in need of reading intervention services. The other benefit, if this legislation, you might have noticed in the previous slides, there was a pretty quick turnaround in Florida and Mississippi, a pretty quick effect seen. Florida passed it in 2002. By 2003, you could see the upturn. As soon as this legislation is passed, third graders are assessed and for fourth grade, and identified for reading intervention services. Second graders are assessed for third grade, first for second, and kindergartner for first grade. These interventions are designed by the local district with oversight from the department, and delayed progression is in the bill as an intervention of last resort, but parents always have the final decision on whether the child is advanced or not.
Senator Hoffman, did you have a question?
Yes, I do, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Holland, on these three assessments per year for K-3 students, is this a funded mandate or unfunded mandate?
We hear that a lot. Thank you, Senator Hoffman, through the chair. This is the job of education. If they are not assessing their students, then they're not doing their job. I believe this is part of the job, and I believe many schools will see this is something they do. I've spoken to teachers who have very successful programs in their schools, and through discussions, they say, well, we're already doing that. Well, the problem is this is not consistent across the state of Alaska. And so I believe it is not an unfunded mandate. I believe it is part of the job of a teacher to assess their students. Senator Begich?
I would add to that, Senator Begich, for the record. Senator Hoffman, through the chair, Senator Hoffman, the right now the testing goes on. We have assessment tests that go on regularly in every school district, as Senator Holland said, but the thing that's unique here is that the department would fund and create the universal way where we would test students. So you would have three different opportunities. And that way, is it an unfunded mandate? The answer to that, I believe, is no. It's a funded mandate because the Department of Education takes on the responsibility of creating the universal tool. And currently, as Senator Holland mentioned, that the district's already doing this level of testing and assessment. So,
thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yep. Senator Wilson?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Just wondering about some of the delayed progression as part of the intervention as last resort. In some states, they do a sort of a social promotion, and that's been sort of the policy, I think, here in Alaska mostly. In the other states that have seen great improvement, do they allow for social promotion, or do they hold them back, or can we talk about some of how that may happen for the delayed progression of students?
Senator Begich, do you have that answer?
I think I may have that answer. Promotion, first off, this bill doesn't affect current districts' promotion policies. Every district in the state of Alaska would have the capacity and ability to still adopt its own promotion policy. The one exception to that is that parents have the last say in this policy. So in the event that a parent was insistent that their child be moved forward, that would actually be something the parent would have the right to do under this bill. So it doesn't take away that parent's right to determine the future of their own child. In other states, for example, in both states of Mississippi and Florida, they've actually suspended all retention under their current bills and policies this year, precisely because of the impact of COVID-19 and not wanting to walk down a path where they were denying kids a chance to eventually move forward with their social age group. That said, the focus for all retention policy around the country where it's been successful has been on where the intervention indicates the child needs further work. And this bill would not be a retention bill in that regard, but what it would do is allow districts to continue to set their own policy for retention, which every school district in Alaska does.
Mr. Chairman, I believe Senator Hughes has some input on this question.
Sure. Senator Hughes?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Shelley Hughes, Senator for District F. And thank you for that question, Senator Wilson. That's been something that has been near and dear to my heart because I do think social promotion is actually damaging to a child emotionally because when they get in the higher grades, they struggle so much. It impacts their life in many, many ways. And so my bills in prior years modeled it after the states who took a very strong promotion policy. And with the idea, and studies have shown, that when a child does need extra intervention in perhaps another year at kindergarten, first grade, that it actually, the impacts as far as social, emotional are pretty negligent, and so it's better to really think about this. And of course, this bill, in order to get it through, Mr. Co-Chair, we have people very opposed to a strong promotion policy in that kind of way, and I understand that. So parents will have the final decision, although what the bill does require is that the parents are notified if a child truly isn't ready. So if the parents decide they do want that children to go ahead and be promoted, they will understand the child's not in the best situation to be moving on. But it also requires 20 hours of extra reading intervention prior to entering that next grade level. So we're honoring what the parents want to do, but we're also recognizing how important it is for a child to master the objectives before they're moved to the next grade level. And you've probably heard the way it's designed is if we learn how to read by age 9 or by third grade, then we're set to read to learn, because all the remaining subjects in the higher grades, if you don't know how to read, you're in trouble. So thank you.
Senator Wilson, did you have a follow-up?
Yeah, just wanted to just restate from Senator Baggage then. The states that adopted this policy early on in the presentation, they did have a more strict promotion policy, which we're in this current version of the bill does not have, correct?
That's correct.
Through the chair, Senator Baggage, through the chair to Senator Wilson, not quite. That's not an easy yes-no answer. What this bill does do is preserve the local control over promotional decisions. In the case of both Mississippi, in particular Mississippi, we've had testimony from them, from the Department of Education there, and in the case of the state of Florida, promotion policies have not been, if you will, stricter, in the sense that in the state of Mississippi, numerous exceptions were cited on the record by those who testified before us. As a consequence of that, we modified the bill to ensure we took in their best practices. So I'm not going to say it's a blatant one way or the other answer. What I think was effective in Mississippi based on the testimony were the combining of early education with a strong reading program. And what Senator Hughes has spoken to here is worth noting. She has noted that this lays out strict parameters, so a parent has to take the responsibility. And how many times have we heard, and not just this committee, but education committee elsewhere, parents need to step up and take a little more responsibility for the education of their own children. And so this bill actually provides that incentive to the parent to look out for the best interests of their child when it comes to their academic education. That's why we put the power in the hands of the parents in this bill to make that determination. So it's not a simple answer. I can't say that there's a universal in either Mississippi or Florida that would necessarily make this bill weaker or stronger. Testimony on the record has been that this bill ticks the boxes for what it takes for quality education.
And thank you, Senator Wilson. Through the chair, one final note from me on this. I believe Senator Hughes has something else to say, but there were 35 other states that have gone through this sort of legislation. There is there's a lot of variation from one state to the next. We do have that data, I believe, and we could probably provide that information. I've seen the spreadsheet, but I'm not quite sure that they have a column in it necessarily on hard retention or delayed progression. But we may be able to give you a little bit extra info on that. Senator Hughes?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Shelley Hughes. And, you know, it is a policy call, and I can understand where some hesitate. And I'll tell you what went wrong with some of the states and why there's hesitation about it is because they flipped the light switch and all of a sudden children weren't being promoted if they didn't meet the objectives. What we originally had planned to do was phase it in so that it wouldn't be till that kindergarten, that cohort of kindergartens, let's say next fall, would become fourth graders that would kick in, so every child would have the full benefit. And actually, I'm sure the commissioner will attest to this, the incredible intervention and way this will be taught, it will be pretty rare that a child is, by fourth grade, is in a place where they're really going to struggle if they move to fifth grade, because the intervention is going to be so intense all 4 years. And there are even opportunities for summer school and things like that if a district were to choose to do that. So I think it would be a very minute number. There's also exemptions for students who are disabled or English as a second language. So what this is really all about is making sure that students aren't in a place where they aren't prepared for the next grade level. And we're going to, this bill, I'm pretty excited about it, Mr. Co-Chair, because if I think of any policy in this building that we put forward and how it can impact the future of individuals, of families, of communities, and the state as a whole, this one is a game changer. Because someone who knows how to read, their chances of being successful in life and being productive citizens are just greatly increased. So I'm very happy that we are considering this bill, and I think we've come up with a workable way to do it, honoring the parents, but also doing everything we can to make sure that child will be successful.
Thank you. Seeing no other questions, please continue your presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Next is the reading specialist program, and I'll ask Senator Begich to speak on this.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Mr. Chairman, this and members of the committee, the reading specialist program emerged from a series of discussions during the first introduction of these bills with the Department of Education and with many of the folks, superintendents and others who were participating in those conversations. It was determined that DEED had a responsibility to help provide the transition to stronger reading components. So DEED elected to fund positions as part of their commitment to this process that would help build expertise within schools and across school districts. So this section of the bill actually funds these positions through DEED, so it doesn't take away any resources from a local school district, but what it does do is provide support to teachers to help them transition to evidence-based reading. And this is particularly important when you have such high turnover with teachers, having the expertise from the department. Something noted in the Moore lawsuit, where the department wasn't providing that level of support, this provides that level of support. So evidence-based training and testing requirements for teachers, working to ensure that they're coming up to speed. We worked very closely with the teacher organizations to ensure this would not be onerous to teachers themselves, so there's a way to phase into that process. The bill provides for that, and in the section you'll get more detail on that. DEED would also be responsible for purchasing the textbooks for students so that they're taking on that burden, so that burden isn't placed on the district itself. And this bill has a pilot program that would go to the five of the lowest performing schools to test this to make sure it works. I've suggested to the chairman and to others in the committee that number be higher, to Senator Holland and others in the committee, but the education committee elected to use five. The commissioner has expressed the ability to be able to do potentially more schools there, but that's what it's designed to do. Really focus on those schools that are struggling, provide them the resources without putting an additional burden on the district monetarily, and then building the expertise within the home district so that expertise is retained in the home district and continues to be used for years to come.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I believe that this is a very good provision. The problem with many of the school districts in lower performing schools, many in my district, is the fact that when a student gets a teacher, that teacher is gone the following year. The problem, is how do you replace them? Replacement and retention for the lowest performing school districts is probably the largest problem facing lower performing schools, particularly in my district. And I'm wondering, is there anything in this legislation that addresses that?
Senator Backus, I think I know where you're going to go with this answer on this. Did you want to take it?
Yeah, I will. That's right. To the chair, Senator Hoffman, thank you so very much for mentioning that, because that is one of those issues that we care a lot about, all of us here do. I'm going to mention in a second, the original form of one of the bills that the underscores this bill actually had a teacher retention task force as part of the bill. But since that particular piece of legislation didn't pass a few years ago, the commission went ahead and initiated a retention and a hiring and retention task force, which has come up with six very clear findings for what would help, in fact, help us retain, not just retain them, but also hire teachers and grow our own within our own communities. So are those pieces in this bill? The short answer is no, because that's going to be separate legislation that deals with retention. But what this bill does to specifically address that issue, because the department is taking on the responsibility of providing that consistent reading intervention, even if there is turnover, they'll be there and responsible to continue to work with that district. So that's the number one thing. Number two, one of the reasons given in that study for why teachers don't stay is they don't have the support. So we believe it will have an impact on teachers staying simply by providing the support from the Department of Education, early development, that we believe is what teachers are asking for. When they find they can't get that support, they generally tend to give up. And we don't want that to happen. Finally, in that retention report, the number one reason dealt with retirement programs, frankly, and not having a clear retirement program for teachers. That is not in this bill, nor is that part of what we would want to see in a reading bill. But that is a bill that I hope will come before you guys at some point for and all of us in the Senate for us to address.
Mr. Chair, Senator Hughes would like to speak on it as well.
Thank you. Just before, Senator Hughes, you make your comments, just we've got three passionate speakers at the other end of the table, and we get all wrapped up in our brain thought. I'm fine with that, but for our recording purposes and our listeners at home, we've got three people. Just please to remember to identify yourself before you speak. Thank you.
Thank you,
Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Shelley Hughes, Senate District F. And Senator Begich did a very good job of explaining one of the aspects, Senator Hoffman, is the support the teacher will receive, and that's something that has been somewhat lacking. That there are efforts, but this will be very intense, extremely intense support for teachers, and that is a huge factor. The second thing I want to point out, I had the good pleasure of hearing Mississippi teachers who were in a state where many schools were failing, and after this was implemented and they rose way up toward the top, I heard a panel of these teachers just talk about how rewarding it was and how they were on the verge of leaving the profession and then having the reward of actually having a whole classroom of children actually be able to read and meet the objectives. It was incredibly rewarding. So I think that's part of it. We do have a national teacher shortage. Alaska is hit pretty hard, and having been in rural Alaska where my children went to school, I know it is a concern, and there are going to be more components and things that the task force will bring to us. But I will say, this definitely is one of the items I think that will help encourage teachers to stay in the profession.
Thank you. Please proceed, Mr. Holland.
Senator Roger Holland, Senate District N, Education Chair, Senate Education Chair. And the third largest component of this Senate Bill 111 is the virtual consortium. And as that is Senator Hughes' specialty. Senator Hughes, would you care to cover this?
Yes, and I did thank you, Mr. Chair, but I really want to extend my deepest thanks to you and the committee for hearing this. About 7 or 8 years ago, it was my grandchildren were in the schools, and it had been a number of years since mine had been. And learning what I did here in the legislature and chairing education back then, I became pretty concerned. I knew we had amazing pockets of excellence, but also knew we had a lot of work to do to help our kids. And one of the things, along with the reading, was I had a young girl come into my office as part of a civic education project. And she was involved in a virtual education class where there were students from all over North America in the class. I think the teacher was based in Virginia. And I was very impressed because she said that it was such a great class that she forgot that it was virtual. She felt like she was in the room. She felt like she made friends with her classmates and knew the teacher. And I thought, wow, if it's done right, it can be really great. Now, compare that to what we've heard over the pandemic, where a lot of families have struggles. We have high school students that have lost interest. So we know it can be done well, but we also know it can be done very poorly. And what this bill would do, it would create a consortium that DEED would run that would allow a platform. Rather than our going out and getting a platform from outside, we would have our own platform, which would be a learning management system that would provide a menu of courses for students as well as professional development courses for teachers. But one of the unique things, Mr. Chair, is that we want to see a very high standard, very high quality. We want excellent courses. We don't want mediocre. We don't want poor. We want it done right. And there's a difference between standing in a live room and talking and conducting a virtual classroom. And there are actually some pretty creative online tools and things that can make it pretty interesting. You think about kids and how they love to play video games. So you know that sitting in front of a screen can be captivating. And so there are new and better ways to do things. And we want to make sure when our students are using online that it is done very well. And so part of this would require that a teacher either have experience and is approved by the consortium to be able to offer it online or would take training. It also a reading specialist would be connected to the consortium to be able to provide intensive intervention strategies, whether to teachers or modeling teaching students so that teachers could observe effective instruction. And because there is a cost factor, the district, this bill would allow the department to charge a fee, but it could not exceed the cost of administering the learning management system. And also it gives the permission to require that districts participating coordinate their schedules and their calendars and their school terms, so that the scheduling of classes. It also allows a district, and this is the most exciting thing to me, having lived, and I think Senator Hoffman, you'll appreciate that, having lived in the rural areas, I know how important it is for a student to be engaged and excited, especially in high school. And it can be pretty limited with the number of courses in a small school that might be available and the expertise of the particular teachers living in that village. So this would open up a whole new world to students. So a student in a village could take a class in Fairbanks. Perhaps they're interested in taking Japanese or Russian, and it's not offered in their village, but they could connect with a two-way video conference online class and pick various courses they can take. So it would open up a whole new world. And so this bill would allow a district to charge a fee to another district that is enrolling their students in that first district's class. So I think that the sky is the limit with this if we do it right. We would be the first state, to my understanding, that where we would do this on a statewide basis. There are districts that do it for their various schools. There are some states where a few districts in a region join together. But we would have a statewide consortium that would be a wonderful resource for teachers and students and families, Mr. Chair.
Senator Von Imhoff, then Senator Wilson.
Thank you.
You had a tie there, and I just broke the tie.
Thank
Ladies
you.
First.
These are lofty goals and are great ideas, and I know that it has proven possible with Commissioner Johnson. I see him here, and his old district in Copper River, Glen Allen, successfully over a period of time were able to obtain one of the first extensive broadband build outs, and many of the district's schools in his district were able to do what you're saying. But I suspect that in the 55 villages that surround Bethel with Senator Hoffman's may not have as robust and quick internet, I think, as the Copper River region and as the rail belt. So while I don't want to say this is the cart putting in front of the horse, but I think that when you look at the education challenge, five objectives. The first one is to support all students to read at grade level by end of third grade, absolutely. But there's other objectives here that do require, that need to be addressed, things like prepare, attract, and retain effective education professionals. So when these reading specialists come in, and let's assume that they're not online because the internet is lousy, so they fly in, where are they going to stay? And where are they going to eat? And where's, you know, there's not hotels and so forth. So the teacher housing has been an issue. Teacher safety sometimes has been an issue. We can pull up articles on that. You have improved the well-being of students through school partnerships, families, communities, and tribes. Is there any discussion about the tribal compact agreements and bringing tribes into part of this? So there are the challenge with this bill, I see, is that it's the right step in the right direction, but it's super costly. The fiscal notes are really high, and they just go up. And there are three or four other components of it that need to support it as part of the foundation to really make it work. Broadband, transportation, housing. Super complicated, even more costly. And I'm not saying, you know, it can't be done. It just means that it's just, this is just one component of the conversation. And I fear that if this bill goes forward and this plan, it won't succeed as well as it could without these other components. It's just more of a comprehensive, there needs to be, my opinion, just more of a comprehensive plan. And it's just, and the cost of that needs to be thoughtful. I don't have an answer for that.
I'd just like to, before we go to Senator Wilson, Senator Hughes, I'll give you a chance to respond here just a second. But just on that bandwidth, if you will, you know, we've had some events that have changed here in the last 6 months with satellites. We've got a $111 million capital budget request still coming forward that's targeted for broadband. I know the governor has targeted $64 million of that for some of his projects. But, you know, as we talk through this bill, I'm speaking out loud, the commissioner's listening, others are listening. Maybe we could try a pilot in some of those districts with some of these low-Earth orbit satellites with the 5G capability for bringing the assets to the classroom. So Senator Hughes, and then we're going to go to Senator Wilson. You wanted to make a comment.
Yeah, I will just say, Senator Von Imhoff, you hit the nail on the head. It's very comprehensive, and we need to do a lot. This is the first step. There's other matters that we need to address. If we start piling on other things, we might not get this through in time. And the way I see it and what's been grievous to me, as every year this has been delayed, we're one cohort of children are missing out on the benefit of it. So if we can get this in place and begin to work on other things, I'm with you. This is not going to be all end all. It's not going to solve it all, but it's definitely a step in the right in direction. Also, I served on the broadband task force, and there was a lot of discussion about education and the villages and the idea of really prioritizing those areas to bring them up to speed so that those students could participate. So there will be a focus on that. And as Mr. Cotair mentioned, there's quite a bit of funding coming in, and we want to be ready so that it's not going to happen overnight, but over the next few years, I think we will, as we get this set up, we'll be in a place where places right now, it would be very difficult for this virtual consortium to really help the kids. In a couple of years, we can. And with the LEOs, the low Earth orbit satellites, we're not sure how much those will play into it, but they certainly could as well.
Senator Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, before the pandemic, I was probably a large fan sort of the virtual learning, but I think even in our state, and maybe the superintendent from the Anchorage School District can talk about some of the gaps that were found during the during the pandemic with just e-learning and some of the just the general lack of positive outcomes of the last school year. I think that just happened across the nation, across the state, and we'll learn about this. But how do we make sure that we have that, you know, synchronous or the higher outcomes of virtual education when this was tested for a year and a half and we just didn't have positive outcomes for the past year and a half? I'm just really worried upon the virtual piece and component of this bill based upon the last outcomes within our state, within our largest school district. And that would just happen across the nation as well. So I'm just a little concerned upon that. And maybe that will have, you know, the effective dates maybe and the implementation of this will have time to build. And maybe during their superintendent's comments, she could possibly address some of the gaps that we found out. And then my other concern with those gaps would be how do we, with the past year pandemic, with that sort of just overall education, kids are behind a year and a half to 2 years. And so how do we have a good basis of NAEP scores to compare this off of? Are we comparing it pre-pandemic scores to post-pandemic scores? Or how are we going to have sort of a baseline to go off of in terms of our student success?
Through the chair, Senator Wilson, that last part of your question is probably going to be a good question for the commissioner as far as the scores. We all know there's going to be a serious hiccup that is going to seen across the nation, in fact, across the world in that regard. So it won't be like a normal comparison. But I will say I think your question is fabulous because of the problems we saw with the pandemic. We know if it's not done right, it can be harmful. And that's why the bill requires that there be a standard and that teachers be trained and that the courses be approved. There are a lot of wonderful resources that are out there and available. I encourage you, my children don't like their kids to have a lot of screen time, but they want, I'm Mimi, right? And they want to play with my phone. And the one thing that they approve the kids to play with is, it's called Khan Academy, K-H-A-N, and that's a real example of virtual learning where it's done really well. It's just a high quality, and that's the kind of thing that's our goal here, is to make sure that we don't have the problems that happened where it was a turnoff and detrimental to students. If a child's going to be doing something virtually, it needs to be an excellent course. So that's why we need this, because we don't want it willy-nilly just anything offered. I remember seeing a course one of my grandchildren was offered at the beginning of the pandemic, and this was for a primary grade child, and it was just like a Word document with just typing, and the children were bored. This was like a second grader, and something like that can be livened up, and there's all kinds of creative things that can be done. And I know the Senator Von Himhoff mentioned out in the early adoption out in the district where the commissioner was from, that teacher was using a lot of creative kind of tools and online software that made it very engaging for the students.
And for the record, our last speaker was Senator Hughes.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Senator Begich.
Senator Begich from downtown Anchorage District. Jay, I want to address 2 points here. The first, yes, this bill crafted by the Education Committee addresses one of the many areas that need to be addressed in education. When the commissioner speaks, I'm certain he will speak to you about the imperative need to deal with reading today. That need has only become exacerbated by the pandemic. The early education and reading components combined make this bill work. The virtual education component, the consortium, not only has the commissioner heard loud and clear that there's a need to understand how we mix and match our resources, they've already begun, as Senator Hughes alluded to, experimenting with some of these consortium opportunities and ideas. The issue of whether or not we have tribal compacting, that's also been an outcome of a many, many discussions in Education Committee, and Senator Stevens is now moving forward with a bill with the Department of Education, and the department has also provided over $1 million to AFN to help us develop curriculum and approaches now, so that we're addressing that. Each of these are a component. If they're all assembled in a single bill, that bill will not pass. And if that bill does not pass, we do not move forward. And that is a concern from us at the Education Committee. Senator Holland made that clear to me early in the process, and which led me to remove elements of the bill that I felt needed to be added. I say that because no bill is going to be perfect. There are elements of this bill I don't like, but that I recognize are part of what we need to make to move education forward. I think that when we come down to do we do something or do we do nothing, we have to make sure the something we do is based in evidence, shows that it can have efficacy, and that's why the bill has these components included in it. I would hope the commissioner would speak to you about the Canvas program, which actually takes the concept of the virtual consortium. They're already doing it, working with teachers' organizations and superintendents to help develop that. We're desperately hopeful that we're going to continue to do broadband and expand broadband in the state of Alaska so that all Alaskans have equal opportunity to access these things. But if we do not set up the components today, we will not be prepared for them when we finally do get that level. So Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, I would encourage you to take two things into account when considering this legislation. One, that it is part of a component, it was one component of a broader education strategy. And two, that the cost of this bill over the space of a decade is less than 1% of our education budget during that time period. And yet the outcome could be transformative for kids. It could ensure whether kids are falling into our criminal justice system, falling into our substance use system, failing to have opportunity, or whether they will have opportunity. Alaska should no longer be at the bottom of the barrel when it comes to reading. That is unacceptable, and it should be for all of us. So with that, I turn back over to the chair.
I'd just like to make a comment. This is a, as Senator Hoffman said, this is a, more than one occasion, and I believe Senator Stedman as well, this is a very experienced finance table. And I'm just, as we're talking about funding and I'm watching the committee, I got three chairmen, one former chairman, and they've all been going through the fiscal notes, right? Because you get good backup information there, and I just throw that out there. But I will, I just got to get my one little lick in here. We've looked at this our budget that the governor's rolled out, and we're seeing in the millions of dollars, I think over 30 million maybe, or increase in public safety. And I don't see anybody batting an eye on that. And if we can get them to read and keep them reading, I'm hoping we're going to shrink the corrections in public safety budget. Please continue.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Holland, District N. The ongoing theme throughout Senate Bill 111 is that parents and districts are in control. Required notification when a deficiency is identified, what better wake-up call for the parents to actually be contacted and have test results in K, first, second, and third that their child needs additional training. The opportunities for 10 updates per year, I believe it's two-week intervals. There is encouragement for parent-student reading plans, getting parental involvement up, and required parent-teacher conference to update on the student status. The one thing we always come back to is parents always have the final say on progression decisions, and that there's local control. And finally, the last slide, given the vagaries of our state's fiscal condition and given the general difficulty to reduce education funding, There was interest in how to best provide some responsibility to ensure that these changes were working before a future legislature was required to continue funding them. The sunsets that are included in this bill provide an off-ramp for future legislators to take if what we think of as today's solution does not turn out to work as well as we would like. There is a annual reporting requirements in Senate Bill 111. The annual report will include updates on the Parents as Teachers program. It'll include updates on the reading progress of students. One thing it will include is a count of how many students were promoted with a deficiency, or how many students were their promotion was delayed for performance. And there will be a report on the use of the virtual consortium. Finally, there is a required final report and recommendation to the 38th legislature about 10 years down the line. And I believe at that, we have moved through this presentation.
Very well. Senator Wilson.
I have a question. I mean, this is for the Commissioner of Education to talk to his counterpart in the HES Commissioner. But the Parent as Teachers was one of the only programs that State of Alaska had in order to receive partial funding for the Family First Services Act. Did we find another program to supplement that funding, or would this help us to get that federal funding back? And I should have pointed to the commissioner so I can wait to that question until he gets up here.
I can see he's already got it queued up to answer when they get up here. Any further questions of our presenters, Senator Hughes, Senator Holland, and Senator Begich? Any final comments, questions? The floor is yours. Are you dictate?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Holland, District N. There are no easy answers for the problems we have in Alaska. We are not reinventing the wheel. We're just looking at what's tried and true, what's worked in other states, and we're just looking for the way forward. We know that this is not changes without cost. But as I stated earlier, at this moment, we're failing our students in Alaska, and something has to change. That's all I have. I don't know if either the other senators. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, and thanks for your work. And I'd just like to say, if it was easy, you wouldn't be here. They'd already be reading, right? So, okay, next, we're going to take just a quick at ease while we bring our next presenters up. We reconvene the education meeting on SB 111. Dr. Bishop, if you would come before the committee and introduce yourself and present to us your comments, it would be greatly appreciated.
Thank you. My name is Dina Bishop, and I'm the superintendent of the Anchorage School District. And I did wonder if this was the first time that this table had two bishops at the head or at the bookends of the table. So thank you.
Let's get a picture of this. This is for the record book.
Once again, I'm Dina Bishop, and I serve as the superintendent of the Anchorage School District. This is my 31st year in education, and I've served as an educator in the Copper River School District, the Matanuska Susitna Borough School District, as well as the Anchorage School District. Thank you for allowing me to speak on SB 111. The bill before you has clarity of purpose and the rigor needed in our schools, which will provide Alaska a return on its public education investment. Literacy is a fundamental right of all students in our state and must become a no-fail mission for all our classrooms. I provided my first testimony on this bill to the 31st legislature in 2020, explicitly sharing that Alaska schools are in a reading achievement crisis. Please know I'm not here to shame our schools or our students. I am present as an educator before you, frustrated about the inability of lawmakers and educators to work together to pass a bill that prioritizes effective teaching to ensure students learn to read. I am outraged that we are not collectively unsettled by the student outcomes in our schools. SB 111 clearly articulates a change in our state to guarantee all students, whether in person or virtual, receive the benefit of evidence-informed instruction from qualified, well-trained teachers. Acquisition of fundamental skills is essential to allow students to be successful in the learning of more rigorous, higher order thinking to thrive in our modern world. Basically, here in Alaska, to build our state into the future. I want to be clear. Our schools exist to help students master complex academic material as they matriculate educationally. However, that is not possible without the ability to read well. 60% of Alaska students are left behind. We must do better at teaching all kids. As this is the third year on the topic, I will briefly share my thoughts on the bill's detractors. To the testimony that requirements in the bill are too high, I want you to know that kids are tougher and smarter than we think. In other countries, matriculation exams help inject drive into the system, creating a bright finish line for kids in schools to work towards, not mass failure. While I'm proud of the social-emotional work we do in schools, sometimes our own empathy for a child's home life strips the rigor from our classrooms. Their family status should not be a reason for their failure. It is their brains that matter most. High quality education is needed so generational poverty or dysfunction is not inherited by Alaska's youth. To the testimony that we assess kids too much, it is true that assessments, they can't measure every success that matters in life or school, but they can tell us what students have been learning, and what school is like for them. Schleicher, the gentleman who designed the PISA, or the Program for International Student Assessment, shared it best when he said, without data, you're just another person with an opinion. The bill's provisions place manageable pressure on districts, schools, families, and students to focus on learning and progress. The information gained via the assessment requirement will communicate and drive Alaska forward. To the testimony that this bill devalues teaching, educating kids is hard work. Alaska's teachers matter. Qualified, well-prepared, and supported teachers can do this work. It has been accomplished by teachers in other states, and I know our educators are just as smart and care just as much for our students. Nevertheless, if and what kids learn should not be left to chance. Coherent, clear sets of standards and expectations should exist in our state. In reality, this bill codifies what we already know about good instructional reading practices, quality early learning experiences, and high efficacy virtual learning. It allows schools and teachers to focus and prioritize the learning in our classrooms. In summary, legislation must remain relevant and uphold and reflect the values and beliefs of a society. Let's focus on our young people. You know, I read once that kids have a great detector about what adults take seriously and what counts. I'm here today to testify that Senate Bill 111 counts. It empowers our schools and teachers to ensure students are readers and thinkers in today's global society, while at the same time providing accountability for the dollars spent on public education in the state of Alaska. And I welcome any questions.
Senator Wilson? Senator Von Imhoff?
Thank you. Superintendent Bishop, I appreciate your thoughts. So just a couple questions just to kind of like build the scenario. Does the state of Alaska have a set of statewide standards for reading and writing?
Yes.
And those are articulated and disseminated to the 54 districts, and the teachers understand what those measurements are. Is that correct?
I would say marginally, maybe distributed. Understanding, probably marginal. Are they there? Yes.
Okay. So then who's responsible at the district level of receiving and assimilating and then teaching those standards?
All of us. In fact, I mean, if I could address your question in a larger sense, that an articulation of an expectation ensures that it gets done. With the change in certainly Bush districts and educators and administrators, with the change in administrators, educators, superintendents in large school districts, as well as change in school board members. Those are all the adult churn in our system that leaves children and without the focus of a clear focus for all the people that churn in and out of our system. Even if you stay in Alaska, if you move from district to district, you lose ground. We lose ground each time there's a change. So answering it that way, gives you a picture of what's actually happening.
So, thank you. So if we can't actually maintain the set of standards that we have now, why do we think that we're going to be more successful with a new set of standards with this bill?
The accountability that's built into the bill ensures that things get done.
Is the accountability just for reading, or are we going to maybe extend it to math and social studies and science and just the regular curriculum that we have out there already?
Well, I'm sure that there is some expectation, I would hope, from our government, from our parents, from our school boards, from our communities, that the expectation is already there. But in order, accountability, when you measure something, you treasure it. You ensure that it gets done. Reading for one is something that will be a key door opener to the future, that if we don't get it right early on, we pay for it for years to come.
Follow-up?
Thank you. Before the pandemic, I believe that all the districts were undergoing an annual statewide assessment exam, whether you call it the PEAK or the SBS or whatever they were. And I think it was changed to be an online platform right before the pandemic. Was that a successful platform? Were school districts actually able to adequately do an online, or did we have like a failure in technology?
Sure, so I forgot, I'm Dina Bishop too, should I be doing that through the chair, but we actually had a prior to the pandemic, well before in 2000, I believe, 16, spring of 16, we had a failure with AMP, and that was the first, prior to PEAKS, we actually had an assessment that was online. So PEAK wasn't our first one online. But then we did have PEAKS, which is our new assessment, and I think believe it was necessarily a technological failure. I think that children were home, and this is a proctored exam. So during the pandemic, they did not take the assessment the first year, but they did last year, even though some school districts were still home and not. So was that your question?
This would be my last question. Is the electronic, are all districts able to successfully administer an electronic test?
I would have to, that's a great question for the commissioner, but as a school district, I do know that I have access to a paper pencil and an electronic one if needed.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Senator Wilikowski.
Yeah, thank you. Is there any sort of research on, and there's probably like a scientific term for this, I don't know, but is there any sort of research on whether kids liking school motivates them to do better in subjects?
That's a great question. And I would say that when children do things that matter and that they know that are important and they do them well, then that success breeds success. And I think that was brought up earlier that by Senator Hughes in relation to a teacher, that when they started seeing success, they enjoy it. So I'm thinking that, of course, we want schools to be enjoyable and inviting for kids, but also a place where they learn.
Senator Wilikowski, after the meeting, I've got a book in my office I'll give you to help you answer that question of yours. Follow up?
And this is just anecdotal, but when I talk to kids in my neighborhood, I go to events, how's school? How do you like school? I hear very often they don't like school. I'm just wondering if giving them more tests three times a year is going to make them, and teaching them and putting the stress of tests on them is going to make them like school more or less?
That's a great question, but the assessments that are in here are things that are very simple that you do all the time. And I would say that from the beginning of time and generations, teachers give tests. But what these are called curriculum-based measures. And so I, for a minute, will sit with a kid and listen and or score. Can I tell that they have early onset letters? Can they understand letter sounds? Can they do letter naming? And they are given three times a year. Approximately, it takes 15 minutes per child to run through that assessment three times a year for these young children. So I would say that the value of the learning about what kids know and are able to do is certainly worth the effort, because we teachers, we need to know what is it that the child understands, because I don't want to teach them something that they already know. Hence, I think boredom does happen if I sit in a classroom when I'm well ahead. However, we want to be sure that they have the absolute skills that they need to move on and be successful. Each grade level is responsible for the next grade level to prepare the student for success. I don't believe that this bill incorporates excessive assessment, and I think maybe the connotation or denotation of assessment might be something of from our generation rather than what these are meant for. They're curriculum-based measures.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Bishop, I think the task force or the committee has done a remarkable job, but there are concerns that I have, and that is the level playing field. Throughout the state of Alaska, we have many schools that are substandard, majority of them being in rural Alaska, which is a disadvantage. We have retention problems for our teachers. There's not the continuity of teaching, the vast majority of them in rural Alaska. We have living conditions outside of our control. When a new teacher comes in, first time from the lower 48, gets on a plane, gets off in Anchorage, flies out to Bethel. They see that and they're, you know, awestrucken. Then they're dropped off in Eek, Alaska, and they're blown away. They go to the residence. They get running water, but they have to find out that they have to go run for it. That's their running water. They do not have, they can't go to some place and get a latte. They can't go to some place and try to relax and have a glass of wine. There's so many different things about living in rural Alaska. And I guess we're not starting out on a level playing field for trying to get people in rural Alaska educated. And I'm wondering, knowing that this is a good start, what can you say about not starting out with this bill, trying to implement it, not having a level playing field?
Thank you. That is an excellent question. And I would say that we will never have a level playing field. It's not the way the world works. And so we have to create a system that responds to that. And because of the unlevel playing field is the exact reason why we focus on students in this bill, not what the system needs or the unlevel system. This is about students and our expectations, what we desire for them to have. I've been working closely with the Lower Yukon School District on a project that we figured out on our own to do, to be able to afford. We didn't come for additional funds to this table. There, over 120 students from that school district come a year to learn career technical education at the Kusilvec Academy. Those kids are bright and smart and can achieve. What they missed were a lot of the basic skills. They are a genius without having the ability to perform a written essay at a quality of the Alaska Middle College needs, because these kids are involved in the middle college as well. And so what we've done is figured out how to back end all those skills, those fundamental skills that this bill ensures as kids move on, because the other types of things that children are learning are there. What I found and what I've seen is it is the truly fundamental work of the assistants in being able to take an online class, being able to read, being able to fill out a job application, being able to do those technical skills. That's what we're helping them with now. But for the very reasons that you share about the inequities in our state, in our communities, in our country, is the very reason that we should get serious about what we expect for all kids. Because just because a child lives in an area that doesn't have running water or teachers that stay for 5 or 10 years in a school doesn't mean that they should have a sub-education to what we can offer when we provide the most money, some of the most money in the, that didn't sound very articulate, but we provide excellent funding in our state in comparison to others. But I don't believe that we have policy to ensure that we're spending it to benefit young people.
Senator Wilikowski, oh, sorry. Senator Von Imhoff and then Senator Wilikowski.
Thank you. So, yeah, you brought up Lower Yukon, and I believe that's a pilot project that's bringing village students to a city where there's more amenities, such as the King Career Center, among other things. And several members of this committee visited Nome this summer and saw the same thing happening, where the village students were going to Nome with NAVTEC, among other things. So there are grassroots efforts happening where students are traveling from smaller villages to larger hubs. And this bill is talking about bringing reading teachers to the small communities. Is that correct?
Yes, as it supports to meet the types of things that the senator spoke of.
So thank you, Mr. Chair. And I understand it's not possible to bring students for a whole host of reasons from the villages to the hubs, but it seems that this behavior is happening. Is there a way for this bill to accommodate or integrate with that behavior that's already happening?
Sure. Those are for older students. I don't know that we definitely want to bring younger students on a plane by themselves. But is that what you mean, like bring kids into the city? I do know that we can do it. Your question that you posed to the senators who proposed this bill really talked about housing and where are they going to stay and things like that. And I just share that we have some of the most competitive basketball games in our state, and some of the most exceptional players come from the smallest of the villages. As a coach myself, that's how I learned the state geography as a varsity basketball coach in a small place. And I slept on gym floors, and I slept in offices, and we made it work. And I just want to share that given the policy to ensure that students have that equitable access to high quality instruction, I think that my goal is that if we can figure it out for sports to be able to travel around the state and get people in and out of villages and house them and offer opportunities, we can do the same for high quality education.
Senator Wilkowski?
Yeah, thank you. What does the research show are top indicators of excellent student performance? Is it parental involvement, income level, teacher quality? What would you say?
That's a good question. In fact, I just read a book called The Smartest Children in the World, Smartest Kids in the World, and they studied the countries that have those, and they looked at them. And we've all heard of Finland, and people say, well, Finland has everybody is white in Finland. It's not true. I mean, Helsinki is quite diverse, but then we studied South Korea, and they say, well, it's parent involvement in South Korea. The third highest country with the smartest kids in the world is Poland. As a Bielecki, Wilkowski, we might think that's fine, but that is a war-torn country. That is a country of poverty, and that is a country of diversity. And what they have are high expectations for their teachers and skills. They support their teachers to gain the knowledge needed to teach. There is support for teachers. There is an expectation at the governmental level for excellence, and they test for it. In every one of these countries, children and teachers hate those tests. But policymakers and administrators know, and parents know, that that will ensure that their child gets to that next level. There's also some autonomy for students, interestingly enough. Younger parents of younger children have more input. Parents of older children are hands-off. We allow our students to learn and fail and come back and learn more and work hard. Sometimes our system doesn't do that. I literally just read the research 2 months ago. Here we're talking about the governmental expectation. They knew they could not be at the bottom forever, and they made a change. And they did it with high quality teaching, as well as joy in schools for that autonomy piece that you mentioned.
And they went from the bottom to the top in 10 years. They went from the bottom to number three in the world in 10 years. It's a generational shift. It's a cultural change. And you have to have buy-in from top to bottom if you want to do that. Senator Wilkowski.
Follow up on that. And how much are we getting to that in this bill? And what more do we need to do to get there?
Policy establishes the expectations. While Senator Von Imhoff was correct that we did change our Alaska standards to make them higher, but I don't necessarily have a requirement to pull them off the shelf and teach them. And as a superintendent, no one is asking me, what are you doing in your school district? Why aren't these kids going? Why aren't these kids? And I've asked that if you want to expend your dollars, hold me accountable. Public education can be quite competitive in this world. We have smart people here. So policy, we need to support the learning of teachers and ensure that they're high quality. And quality doesn't mean going through this institution or that institution. Quality is ensuring that teachers have the skills that they need and the supports to be able to teach. The research in institutions isn't clear that if you go to this institution, you're a better teacher than if you badge, say, for instance. So that is unclear because institutions are different. But I think having, I would say having everybody aboard, eyes wide open, that this is our work because we expect no less. And I guarantee we're not going to fail kids because educators, we love our kids, we care for our kids, and we're going to ensure we would not want a bad outcome on them if it was whether they'd have to stay back or their parent would have to sign a waiver to move them on. We wouldn't want that reflecting on us. We would work hard to get that done. I mean, that's what I think would happen, but we need to say that this is important. And I'm already funded to make this important. I just need some language that is articulated from the very top to every classroom and every living room table that this is a no-fail mission.
Thank you for your comments, Senator Stubman. We want to, and then we're going to get Dr. Johnson up here. He's got 2:45. This meeting's adjourned. Senator Stubman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Could you elaborate a little bit on, you mentioned that it was already funded. Help us with that a little bit. And I know we're not doing fiscal notes today, but you probably won't be here when we do them. So kind of help us out with that comment.
The state of Alaska funds public education. And one of my goals should be that every child who leaves third grade can read on grade level. I shouldn't come back. I mean, this program offers supports for things that we know matter. One of the things I forgot to tell you, every one of those countries has universal pre-K. Finland, South Korea, and Poland. So the inputs in this bill are to add value to the things that we know. But if someone just says, you know, we need to teach reading. We need to get, I mean, I'm funded to teach reading. I'm funded to teach math. That's already here. I mean, that's the table stakes. What I see this bill doing is ensuring that every level of the organization is in line. Pre-K does matter.
Senator Wilson, quick one. We got another
speaker. I just want to congratulate Dr. Bishop on 31 years of successful educating our students, and we missed her when she left Mat-Su to go to Anchorage, and I'm sure Anchorage will miss her too, and just want to wish her a happy retirement.
Thank you.
Von and Senator Von Inhamoff.
So thank you. Prior to serving on the Senate, I was on the Anchorage School Board, and when we had Jim Browder there, he actually did make a change where 90 minutes every day students read, and he made that significant change on his own, no extra money, 90 minutes. It was repealed when Superintendent Graff came online, as far as I know. So to your point, districts do have the ability to prioritize whatever subject they want and just put more time towards it. Now, whether they have the supports that you guys are discussing with more reading specialists or techniques or curriculum, this bill probably addresses it, or the language that you were referring to. But districts do have, is my understanding, because I saw it in motion with the Anchor School District. What this is mostly is a universal preschool that you talked about. And I have read the same book that you have as well about Poland, South Korea, and Finland. And the question is can the state of Alaska, how can the state of Alaska bring 3- and 4- and 5-year-olds to be ready to learn when they enter kindergarten and or first grade? And what are the cost benefits of doing it or not doing it? I mean, that's the question. And I mean, that's something that this committee and the rest of the legislature will have to grapple with.
I appreciate that you said that, because the very reason your experience on the school board to mine is very different, and that's the very reason why the state having a policy in regard to reading will matter most. Mr. Graff, I didn't know what reading was in his, but reading during presently now is more than 90 minutes with wind time. But the effective pool of being able to, every time there's a change, every time there's an election, every time there's a new leader, which occurs often in our schools and our boardrooms, children lose ground. That's what this bill addresses. That's what this bill addresses. Our state already funds quite a bit of preschool. Quite a bit. This ensures that families, but what I found is there is a gap for working families. That if the four-year-olds, and this isn't looking for three-year-olds, this is a four-year-old bill, can have access. That's what we want. Whether it's in public education in one of my buildings or in a private preschool, access to me matters.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. I could see where we could go for another hour just with yourself. It's thank you for coming. It's always a pleasure to hear from you. Commissioner Johnson?
Thank you. This was an honor.
Thank you. Welcome, Commissioner.
Thank you, Chair Bishop, excuse me. For the record, I'm Michael Johnson, the Commissioner of Education and Early Development for the State of Alaska. In 1996, President Bill Clinton stated in his State of the Union address, quote, excuse me, "Tonight, I issue a challenge to the nation. Every state should adopt high national standards. And by 1999, every state should test every fourth grader in reading and every eighth grader in math to make sure these standards are met. Raising standards will not be easy, and some of our children will not be able to meet them at first. The point is not to put our children down, but to lift them up," end quote. I believe Senate Bill 111 is an effort to lift all children up. The following year, under President Clinton's administration's Department of Health and Human Services, the National Reading Panel released its report identifying the five components of science-based approach to reading instruction: phonemic awareness, phonics, fluency, vocabulary, and comprehension. Learning to read is a journey through those five components. The intent and content of Senate Bill 11 is in keeping with the National Reading Panel's findings about how to teach children to read. It is a comprehensive reading bill that includes high-quality pre-K to give students that need it a head start. It also includes accountability for reading interventions to monitor and keep students moving along that pathway. And it includes additional resources for our lowest performing schools to help them make improvement more quickly. The pandemic has intensified the need for statewide reading policy because for many students, it interrupted that journey or that pathway to proficiency by fourth grade. This bill gives an increasing number of students a jump start on that pathway and interventions needed to reestablish a successful pathway to reading proficiency. As Emily Hanford, a senior correspondent for American Public Media, states, when kids struggle to learn how to read, it can lead to a downward spiral in which behavior, vocabulary, knowledge, and other cognitive skills are eventually affected by slow reading development. A disproportionate number of poor readers become high school dropouts and end up in the criminal justice system. So thank you for considering this bill and how we might work together to give every student in Alaska a better opportunity to learn how to read.
Thank you. Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner, we've had dialogue about education and improving education in the state of Alaska for through two administrations now. We've had very extensive dialogue about Yupik School District, Akyak, Akichak, and Tuliksak. They have some of the lowest scores in the state, and as a result of that, your administration intervened and took over what the school board was supposed to do. Before we get into what this bill does, did that intervention from your commission work? Did you improve the scores, particularly in reading, being the professionals and the overall overseer of education in the state of Alaska? And I would ask, I've asked that question of the school board themselves as well.
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, I believe the intervention in that school district that you speak of happened before I became commissioner. It was under the previous commissioner. I don't know what metrics they plan to use or used on that intervention. I do know that Yupik School District still is struggling, and we're working with them to support them improving their student achievement.
Then the question that I have is, how do you see Senate Bill 111 helping the Yupik School District in reading, and will you be working, giving them special attention because they have the lowest scores in the state?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, Senate Bill 111, I think, has a number of components that will be helpful to the Yupik School District. One is funding for four-year-olds to attend pre-K so that they can get a head start on that pathway to proficiency. The bill includes several statements about being culturally appropriate and working with the culture to make sure that all the components of the bill are responsive to those communities. The third part of the bill, in terms of the deed support, is specifically designed for schools like those in Yupik, where we come alongside them. We invest additional resources, including people, to help them so that the bill benefits all the students in that district.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I hope that this bill gets past this committee, passes the Senate, and passes the other body, and gets in front of the governor, because I want to work closely with your office to assure that the statements you're making at this table today have a chance to be proven true.
Thank you, Senator Hoffman. Senator Von Imhoff.
Thank you. While this is a noble bill, it has a price tag between $12 and $25 million. And if we look at the governor's 10-year plan, it does have deficit spending in out years during this time where this begins to ramp up, and does require some significant reductions in spending throughout the administration in order to make his plan work. So it's something this table should also consider as we move forward about spending on all the other 16 other departments, including the permanent fund and the revenue we expect to come in, especially if we're going to be adding significant bills like this. The question that I have for the commissioners is, are there Head Start programs? Those are federally funded, is that correct? And are those preschool programs?
Through the chair, Senator Von Imhoff, yes, there are Head Start programs in Alaska, and they are federally funded.
And how many Head Start programs, particularly in Senator Hoffman's district, are there already in existence?
Through the chair, Senator Von Imhoff will get you that information. I don't have that off the top of my head.
Let's say there's more than 10 in the state, right?
Through the chair, Senator Von Imhoff, I think that's a safe statement.
And how are those doing? Are we assessing those Head Start students? Are they ready to read and ready to learn when they go into kindergarten?
Through the chair, Senator Von Imhoff, we can reach out to those programs and get assessment data. The the state, I don't believe, assesses those programs. Senator Begich may have more information on that because I know he's reached out specifically to the Head Start programs regarding this bill.
Okay, so
and Senator Begich's staff will be up tomorrow if you want to wait, or you want Senator Begich or to come up now and answer that?
No, I think with Senator Begich's staff tomorrow, let's find out, you know, how, let's just find out what we can about the Head Start programs and how this statewide program may work in dovetail with the Head Start. Are they going to complement? Are they going to replace? What can we learn from the Head Start programs? How many are there? Where are they? How are they staffed? Are they struggling to try to gain staff? Where do those staff live? You know, things of that nature. How many students are they serving? How are those students doing? And then that way we can kind of use it as a base case scenario of how we feel the success of adding another preschool option.
Thank you. Senator Wilson and then Senator Wilikowski.
Thank you. Commissioner, can you talk about the Parents and Teachers Program? Was that eliminated during a period of time, or is this bill just mandating it?
Through the chair, Senator Wilson, the Parents and Teachers Program is still in existence. I don't remember if it had a sunset date, but I know Representative Tuck and Senator Begich worked to include it in this bill to make sure it does continue, and it is an effective program.
And if I could follow up?
Follow up, please.
Do we know how much federal money that we get part of the Family First Initiatives Act federally to have that program within our state?
Through the chair, Senator Wilson, can you say that again? I apologize.
Do we know how much money federal funds we get as having that program in our state?
Through the chair, Senator Wilson, I'll make sure that we get you accurate information, but I believe that's a state-funded program.
Okay.
Thank you. Senator Wilikowski?
Thank you. Why would you say Alaska is the worst state in the nation for fourth grade reading? What are the reasons for that, in your opinion?
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, can you say that last phrase?
Yeah, why is Alaska the worst state in the country for fourth grade reading? It's not even close. And it's trending downward.
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski. So I believe that statement's based on NAEP data, which is the National Assessment of Education Progress. So that's one measure that we're ranked on. I don't think there's one reason that you can say. I mean, there's many, many variables that would play into why Alaska's achievement doesn't compare well to other states in the country. I think this committee talks about some of those challenges. I think the intent of this bill, though, is that one of the reasons may be that potentially we have less, we may not always attach policy to our funding like other states do. And so Alaska, we send out funding to a district and send that out in bulk, whereas some other states send out funding programmatically and ask for certain things from districts for that funding. That may be one factor, but like I said, there's probably, I know there's many other factors that play into that too.
Follow up, Senator Wilikowski, and then I have a question.
I'm not trying to assign blame. I just want to, I want us as a legislature to figure out what we need to do to fix the problem. If this bill fixes the problem, that's great, but I'm sensing there's other things that need to be fixed as well. And if that is the case, I think it's important for this committee and this legislature to know what those things are. What do we need to be working on to fix the problem of the worst fourth grade reading scores in the nation? What else is there that we need to do?
Well, through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, I would point to the Alaska Education Challenge that we did in 2017. And at the time, I made the statement to Senator Von Imhoff's earlier point that, you know, there's 1,000 things that we can do, but at some point we have to focus on a few and work on those. And those five priorities, I think everybody knows. Number one is comprehensive reading legislation. Number two, to increase culturally responsive and career and technical education, because we know that students that take two or more CTE classes graduate at 20% higher rates. NACTEC is a great example of students that graduate at far higher rates than other students that participate in that program. The third is to close the achievement gap, and we're doing that through conversations with tribal compacting and working with our tribes. Fourth is what's been discussed at this table is we need to address the, as Senator Hoffman said, the recruitment and retention issues that impact students. And fifth, the safety and well-being of students that would include social emotional learning and other factors. So if I had to say five things, those would be my five things. That was put together by many different stakeholders, some of them legislators that are in this room that attended those initial meetings. It's been adopted by many school boards around the state, and I think the more that we can share that vision and share those priorities as a state collectively, the more that we'll see improvement.
Thank you.
I would like to follow up Commissioner Johnson with Senator Wilikowski's questioning, just if you know off the top of your head. If not, we'll get the answer tomorrow. But just on the ranking where Alaska is nationally, is it an apples for apples test across all 50 states?
Chair Bishop, the National Assessment of Educational Progress is the only consistent test given among all 50 states. And so, but it's a statistically sampled test. That means not every student in Alaska takes it. They sample students, like 20% of your student population. And they do that in every state statistically. And then they use that to compare states. And so it's one measure that we use to calibrate our other measures in the state to see how we're comparing. But it is the only test given in this country that's consistent in all 50 states.
Thank you. Any other questions of the commissioner while he's here? We got about 2 minutes. Senator Steadman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, you know, we've been struggling with this for several years. That's nothing new here at the table. And this bill has been in the works, and a lot of members spent a lot of time working on it. And it's going to be expensive. There's just no way around it. It's going to be very expensive, and it may consume the vast majority of the fiscal notes of any bills passed this year. But was there discussions with the department or with the administration on setting aside some of the funds for FY23 to pay for the reading enhancement? Because all of the monies that are forecasted to come in, not only from now to June, the increase there, but in the next fiscal year, are already expensed in the governor's budget. There's nothing left. So, you know, we get to the point where we start digging our hole deeper. So I'd like you to help me with that. And did the department encourage some set aside portion of the 23 revenue to help with this situation?
Through the chair, Senator Steadman, so, I mean, the department has encouraged that the administration continue to support comprehensive reading legislation in its fiscal notes. I think that implies that I don't get into OMBs, how they set aside funding and all that sort of thing, but we certainly have remained steadfast, and I say we as in the State Board of Education, in urging continued support and hopefully eventually signing a bill for comprehensive reading legislation. If I may take the liberty just to speak it to the expense of the bill that's been brought up a couple times. It is an expensive bill. But what I would hope is that it's good policy, and that by being here before you to answer policy questions, that I could give some measure of assurance to this committee that if we spend this money, that it would make the other $1 billion that you're already spending work better, because currently that $1 billion isn't working for all kids equally, as been brought up at this table. And I would hope that by working with bipartisan, nonpartisan, working with everybody willing to, that the policy is good enough that I could assure this committee that if we spend this money, that that other $1 billion, all those dollars will work better for kids, and so that you get a return on your investment.
Thank you for your comments, Commissioner. And seeing no further comments, we will now switch to tomorrow's announcements at 9 a.m. We will have the Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation before us. Senator Stubman will have the gavel. We are adjourned at 2:47.